President Obama's approval rating averaged about 44% during his third year in office, the lowest of any president since Eisenhower, but comparable to Presidents Nixon and Reagan, who ran strong re-election bids. President Obama is facing critics from the left who accuse him of siding with Wall Street, from the right who call him a socialist. Jonathan Alter, columnist for Bloomberg View, says at least some of the criticism is myth. His recent opinion piece in The Washington Post is headlined Five Myths About Barack Obama. And Jonathan, start with the claim that President Obama is a socialist. You trace that back to something then-candidate Obama said to Joe the Plumber on the campaign trail about money?
He said he wanted to, you know, spread it around, and that was seized on by the McCain campaign as evidence that Barack Obama was a socialist. There was never any merit to it. If one believed that he was a socialist because of the TARP bailout, then you would have to say the same of George W. Bush and Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson and a lot of other capitalists.
We remember the image of then-Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson on bended knee in the Oval Office begging Nancy Pelosi in this emergency meeting with President Bush to allow this bailout of Wall Street.
I have that scene in a book I wrote about Obama's first year as president. Seconds later, Barney Frank comes running across the room cursing loudly, waving his arms. Barack Obama had to break up a near fist fight between Barney Frank and Hank Paulson.
So the bailout started under George W. Bush, but what about other claims? I mean, Jonah Goldberg, writing in Commentary in 2010, says that President Obama wanted to nationalize car companies, stage a partial government takeover of health care.
This is just disinformation, Robin. I mean, take the banks. There were a number of liberals who were very disappointed that the president didn't nationalize the banks. He didn't. He chose to leave banking in private hands. It was not a government takeover of healthcare. That's just a lie. The healthcare reform keeps the healthcare system in private hands. And of course, the car companies, the president didn't try to operate those car companies. He simply insisted that they be restructured in exchange for being bailed out and saved. And it's been a tremendous success.
Well, and back to the healthcare reform, you point out, as others have, the individual mandate aspect of it came from the Conservative Heritage Foundation. And the whole plan is, of course, modeled on former Governor Mitt Romney's Massachusetts reform.
And on Bob Dole's ideas from the 1990s. So the idea that he's a tool of Wall Street that you sometimes hear on the left is also a myth. He now is fighting for taxes on millionaires and all kinds of other things that make Wall Street upset.
Well, you say he is now, but that's after people had to take to the streets. A lot of people felt that that was a tone-deaf White House that missed an opportunity earlier on, that President Obama didn't use the leverage he had after the financial bailout to rein in Wall Street, that he had Clinton-era retreads like Timothy Geithner, Larry Sumner's, who had been part of deregulation, that he did nothing about the huge salaries and bonuses that came up again on Wall Street after it was bailed out, that, yes, he might have fought for a Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, but he didn't keep the woman who founded Elizabeth Warren, primarily because she was butting heads with Tim Geithner.
There's something to what you just described, but it is considerably more complicated. First of all, he did do something about the bonuses for those companies that were under TARP supervision, which were the only ones he had any authority over. I agree with the criticism that he should have used more of his leverage over the banks when he had it, and I think history will say it was a mistake not to push for what they call cram-down authority so that courts could renegotiate people's mortgages. But they did put in Dodd-Frank, which is far from a perfect bill, but is a hell of a lot better than the lack of regulation that we had before. And if you ask Elizabeth Warren about it, as I have, you know, she's very complimentary of the president. Senate Democrats, like Chris Dodd, tried to take the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau out of the Dodd-Frank bill, and President Obama insisted that it be left in the bill. I also wish that he had named her as a recess appointment, but I think they decided it would be better for her to pick up a seat for the Democrats in the Senate, which she has a very good chance of doing.
I want to pick up a thought from Thomas Frank, author of the book Pity the Billionaire, who says that President Obama betrayed the voters who elected him, that he ran like a populist but governed like a plutocrat. And Frank goes back to a passage from Obama's book, The Audacity of Hope, when he wrote about how when you get into Washington circles, you start meeting people who are pro-choice, anti-gun, smart people, but they found unions troublesome, weren't sympathetic to people whose lives were upended by the movements of global capital. And Obama goes on to say that he became more like them. Now, he writes how you have to fight those forces. But Frank says, yes, you did become like them. You can check off certain progressive boxes, like, you know, pro-choice, but you increasingly don't care as much about people, is what Frank seems to be saying. Your thoughts about that?
Yeah. You know, I respect Thomas Frank. I just don't agree with this particular analysis. I do think that by selecting certain kinds of advisors, he put himself in sort of a cozy world of people who, if they had not themselves worked on Wall Street, they nonetheless were in that world, and he restricted too much the level of advice that he got and the array of advice that he got. But I think it's wrong that he's governing at odds with the way he campaigned. And all you have to do is look at what he promised and didn't promise in the campaign. He didn't promise to nationalize the banks. And by the way, in retrospect, the decision not to nationalize the banks was the right call. So a lot of what liberals were so sure was the right thing to do in 2009 turned out not to be required. Now, do I wish they had handled housing policy better? You bet I do. But I don't think that's because, you know, the president is some kind of a sellout to Wall Street.
You also contend that Obama's stimulus did not fail. Things could be better, but it didn't fail. And when it comes to the myth that he's a weak leader, you say people who worked for both President Bill Clinton and President Obama said that while Clinton might have been more creative, Obama was more decisive.
Anybody who pushes through health care, which is something Democrats have been trying to get done for more than 75 years, pushes it through over the objections of much of his staff, is a leader. The test is not whether you agree with it or not. Like, I didn't agree with the direction that President Bush took the country, going to war and the rest of it. But it certainly wasn't weak leadership. And that's the way Obama should be viewed, too, to say that he's somehow not a leader, as Chris Christie and others are alleging now, is at odds with the record, where he took enormous risks, killing Osama bin Laden. Obama went forward with a risky plan that could have broken his presidency, and that is leadership.
Jonathan Alter, columnist for Bloomberg View. His latest book is The Promise, President Obama Year One, and we'll link you to his Washington Post op-ed about what he thinks are the five myths about Barack Obama. Jonathan, thanks for touching in with us. And I know you're running off to something on a cell phone, so we really appreciate it.
Okay, take care.
Well, Steve Fay writes on Facebook, how about the myth that Obama's going to take all your guns away? He doesn't even have a gun control agenda. Let us know what you think are myths about President Obama at hereandnow.org. Here and Now.